Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning. Our scripture reading comes from James 1, verses 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and naughtiness, and receive with meekness of the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Good to see you today. I feel strange, and don't look at me and say you should. I feel strange. Last week, I went all week and didn't have to worry about, worry is probably not a good way to put that, but didn't have to prepare any lessons, and this last week, I've had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to talk about this morning, and I hope that this lesson will benefit everyone. I promise that I had no one person in mind when I prepared this lesson, but I had several people in mind, including myself, when I prepared this lesson. In James, if you will, be turning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 together. Actually, verses 2 through 4. You know, James starts off this book, and I say that James is a practical book, a book that we can all take and apply to our lives. It's so good for each one of us as Christians, because each one of us is challenged. We're challenged each and every day of our life. Starts off by saying in verse 2, "My brethren, count it a joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." His letter starts off here telling people, you got problems, be happy. How? How can you be happy when you have problems? There's a key word here, and I hope that you'll circle it in your Bible. Mine is. It's the very first word in verse 3, knowing. You need to circle that word, because if you look it up, the Greek, in the Greek, it means to know absolutely. To know absolutely. You know, we've all faced problems in our life. I wrote down a few. There are people who don't have enough money to survive. They can't pay their bills. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay utilities. They can't buy food. Can't buy clothes. Some people have to decide whether to buy food or to buy their medicine that they need so badly, and they worry about how they're going to get by. It's a terrible worry for someone to have, a struggle in their life. There are people whose marriages are in a mess. Not knowing if they're going to make it. Not knowing if they're going to survive because of all the fussing, fighting, and unhappiness that they have in their home. There are people whose children are on drugs. Drinking. Children that's disrespectful. Children who get pregnant or get someone pregnant out of wedlock. There are children who cuss and lie and gamble and have trouble of every kind. Living life for Satan, and maybe they've left a church. don't have any respect for their parents or God. In other words, they're not living the way that you feel like that you raised them. There are people that's just afraid that their children are headed in the wrong direction, and they're worrying themselves sick. There are people who have lost their children to diseases, sicknesses, accidents. They don't know how they'll go on. They grieve themselves to the point that they are destroying their own life and their own health. There are people who have lost their parents. Tomorrow, I would have lost my mother a year tomorrow. And they long for an opportunity to sit down with them for some one-on-one advice and reassurance about life. You know, when you lose your parents, you lose the one that you've always depended on. They had unconditional love for you. They would bail you out no matter what, and you knew that they loved you. And the older we get, the more we realize, in a lot of ways, we stand alone on a lot of decisions when we lose our parents. There are people who are watching their husbands or their wife fight off diseases. There's people who's taking care of loved ones with Alzheimer's. What a struggle dealing with the loss of someone's mind. There are people whose dad or mom, has left their faithfulness to God. And we worry about that. There are people who have their children leave the faithfulness of the Lord's church. There are people who has their husband or wife leave the faithfulness of the Lord's church. There are people who themselves know where they should be in their life, their health, and especially their spiritual life, knowing their soul is lost at this point and are unwilling to change. But they hope that their life will change at some point and they'll have an opportunity to come back to God. These are just a list of 12 or 13 things that I jotted down this last week that I know for a fact that people, and many of which in this congregation, is facing these issues that I just read. And this is out of the ordinary, but I want us to bow our heads together and pray before we go any further. Our most holy and righteous Father in heaven, we're indeed thankful for this opportunity that we have to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as family and friends and loved ones. We're thankful for this opportunity, Father, that we can bow our heads together today and come to you this morning as humble as we can, thanking you for the blessings that we have. Understanding, Father, that each and every blessing that we have comes from you. Knowing, Father, that you love us and you do care for us. Our Father, there are times that things happen in our life that hurt us badly and we struggle with. We pray, Father, for wisdom. We pray for patience, and we pray for love, and we pray for understanding. Mostly, Father, we pray that we'll never forget the hope that we have. The hope that we have and the love that we know that you have for us, and that someday that we can all be reunited. And one day all of our struggles and trials on this earth will be over. And we're thankful, Father, for that, and we're thankful for Jesus, where each one of our hope lies. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Certain things about problems I want us to think about for just a few minutes this morning. And number one is, problems are unavoidable. There's not a one of us that's immune to problems. If you look at James chapter 1, the word there that jumps out to us is when in verse 2. It's not if. It says when. When means you can count on it. Problems are a fact of life. Matter of fact, if you'll hold your finger there in James chapter 1, if you'll jump over to Acts chapter 14 with me. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Let me say that one more time, or read it one more time. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. The first thing we have to remember and we have to think on, and you can wish and you can dream and you can hope that you'll have no problems, but the simple fact of the matter is not a one of us is immune to problems. And we cannot avoid them. They are unavoidable. Number two, problems are unpredictable. Again, in verse 2, the word various means uncertain or unexpected. Uncertain or unexpected. And that's what we're facing. That's what we look at in our life when we think about things being unpredictable. You know, problems are not planned. How many of you plan on having a flat tire? None of us. We make some preparations for it. We got hopefully a spare and a jack and everything we need in the truck. Matter of fact, last week Charlie and I had a flat on the trailer we was pulling, and it got us to thinking. I said, you know, I wonder where the jack is in this truck. Saw on the news here a while back, they not even putting them in cars anymore. But we don't plan on those things. And to go back to a serious note, not very many people plan on getting diseases. They don't plan on getting cancer. But these things happen nevertheless, and that's why they're unpredictable. They're unexpected in our life. The third thing, problems come in a variety of shapes and sizes. We can have small problems that last a short time, or we can have large problems that last a long time. And the fourth thing about problems is that they have a purpose. And this is something we don't like to think about. We don't like to talk about. But problems have a purpose. And I think there's at least three things that we can think of that problems serve a purpose for. Number one, they help purify your faith. It helps you to focus on heaven, and it helps you to focus on God. Have you ever been real low? I have. I've been on the floor, crawling and crying, and thinking to myself, no one can help me. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who can help me? Norris, you know who it is? God. God can help me. And that is one of the purposes of trials. It helps purify your faith. James uses the word there in our text talking about testing. The testing of your faith produces patience, he says. And it focuses us on heaven and on God and the good things in life. The second thing is problems help produce patience. The Greek word literally means the ability to stay even under pressure. The ability to stay even under pressure. I love to watch old war movies. I like to watch movies about the Civil War and different times. And I was just amazed when you watch those movies about Civil War. How crazy it was how they fought. They would line up in a line. They would line up in a line and they would be facing the others. And they would start walking toward each other. Bullets would start flying and cannonballs would start coming and people would start falling out of formation. And in the movies, even in books you read, people would be hollering out, "Hold your formation. Hold the line." With bullets coming at you, the guy next to you getting his leg blown off, whatever's going on around you, what is your tendency to do? Run. Move. Get out of the way. Get down. Go back. Do something. And someone screaming down the line, "Hold the line. Hold this formation. Keep going." And that's what this is meaning here. The Greek word testing of your faith produces patience. James is talking about the long-term effect of holding your course and building your character in this short-term attitude, but it's long-lasting when we're going through these trials and we're going through these problems. And then the third thing, problems can help develop your character. Look again at what James says in verse 4. "But let your patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Hold your finger there, James chapter 1. Flip over to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8. When you get there, go down to verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now look at verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son of God," or from his Son, "that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Through circumstances of our life, you think and you look at these two verses right here, we become more like Christ. Look at verse 29. A lot of times we'll quote verse 28 or we'll read verse 28 and we leave verse 29 out. Look at that. In the very middle of it, it says to be conformed to the image of his Son. What does it mean? Go back to verse 28. "That all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose." When we have things in our life, the list that we started with this morning and we were thinking about and we were being challenged as I read it, or at least I was challenged, because many things on that list is my life. I know most of y'all already figured that out. When I preach and when I think about things, it comes from my heart, and I sit here and make a list of my life that's going on around me, and I know that some of y'all have some of the things going on in your life, and when we think about what we're going through, the circumstances help us to become more like Christ if we will stand exactly where we need to stand. And we hold our line and we hold our formation. And that's what God wants us to become, Christ-like, when we're facing these things. Real quick, I know I'm running out of time. Let me get to the main part of my lesson I want us to think about. I want to give you three keys to handling your problem. Three keys to handling your problem. And number one, the first key is rejoice. Rejoice. James told us in verse 2, "My brethren, count it a joy when you fall into various trials." Now don't misunderstand what James is saying here. A lot of times we take things out of context. He's not saying put on a happy face no matter what happens to you. He's not saying that. We don't need to rejoice because the problems, but because we can rejoice in the problem. We don't rejoice because we have a problem, but we as Christians can rejoice in the problem. We don't need to thank God for the situation. He's not saying that we bow our head and we drop to our knees and we thank God for the situation that we're in, but we can thank God that we face that situation that we're in with His help. What did I say a few minutes ago? I've been on the floor and I thought, no one can help me. God can help me. God is the one that can help us in the situations. You know, why would we thank God for evil? Why would we thank God for cancer? I never have. Why would you thank God for an accident? Why would you thank God for war? Why would you thank God for all the bad stuff that happens to me or to you? What is James talking about in James chapter 1 and verse 2? He's talking about that we can always thank Him that He is with me when bad stuff's happening to me. God is with me. And He's given me the strength that I need to keep standing. The second key to handling your problem is this. We're going to rejoice. Not that we're in it, but that God's in it with us. And number two, we're going to request. That's what He says. He talks about making a request. In other words, we have to pray. In the middle of your problems, you ought to pray for wisdom. Listen to what James tells us in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There is no situation in life that we cannot learn from it. Did you hear me? There's no situation in life that we cannot learn from it. But where I fail sometimes is I don't pray to God for the wisdom. Tim fails when I don't pray to God for the wisdom in whatever situation I find myself in. That's where I fall short. God didn't fall short. I fell short. And then third, and finally, we have to rely. And James tells us to rely. Had a picture. I had it on a slideshow, and I opted not to put my PowerPoint up today. Many of y'all remember the picture I had on a slideshow one time before of Jay, where he went and killed the alligator, and he couldn't walk. And I carried him to the boat, and all you saw was my back and Jay in my arms. That was just a few weeks before Jay died. We didn't know he was about to die. But I love that picture because I felt like I kept a promise to my baby. You see, when Jay got cancer, I told him, and I know I've told you this before, and I apologize for repeating myself. I always told him, don't you ever quit. And I said, son, when you get to where you can't do it yourself, I can. If it gets to where I can't, God can. Is that not what life is? We do everything that we can. And we include all the people that we love. And what I can't do and you can't help me do, God can do. So what we have to do, each one of us, is learn to rely on God. Rely on each other, but rely on God. Not dwelling on my impending death has helped me to drive forward. I'm still making big plans for the future. I'm not sure where my journey with cancer will end. Just one thing I do know. By the grace of God, and with all the understanding with which He assures us that we can know, my journey with Christ will never end. He is my comfort, my mediator, my king, my elder brother, my friend, my savior. He is my all. And someday I will live with Him forever. Trust God that He can make all your situations and problems turn out for your best. God is that big. I guarantee it. I guarantee you God's that big. If I never preach another sermon, I hope that I'll never forget, and I hope that you never forget, as God is big enough. He's big enough to carry me where I need to go. I picked Jay up, I toted him, got him where he needed to be. And as big as I am, God's big enough to carry me, Nick. No matter what's laying in front of me, what's in front of me, no matter how much weight Satan puts on me, no matter what's in my life, God is big enough. And I have got to trust Him. And that is called faith. Faith is what carries us. And it's faith in God. No one can please God without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. There you have it. Rejoice that God is bigger than your problems. And that's where we're at. Some of you are going through problems right now, and you're not alone. There is a story that is told about an old farmer who had a mule that fell into a well. This old farmer tried and tried and tried to get his mule out of this well, and he failed. The story says he decided it was hopeless. With sadness, he instructed his boys to fill up several truckloads of dirt and just bury the old mule right there in the well. The boys backed up the truck, filled it with dirt, and shovel by shovel, they began to fill the well in and bury the mule. But the mule did not take it very well. The first shovel of dirt hit him square in the head, and it got in his eyes and his mouth, and it made him sneeze. Every shovelful after that hit him somewhere. You ever felt like you're getting hit somewhere all the time? Every shovel of dirt hit that mule, causing the old mule to stomp around on the bottom of the well. Several truckloads of dirt later, the mule was still stomping and packing the dirt firmly underneath his feet. You know where we're going? Little by little, that mule was lifting itself out of the hole. Sure enough, the story says, about mid-afternoon, the mule simply stepped out of the well and snorted about the whole thing. Pack that dirt up in under you. One day, each one of us will rise above the problems is hitting us in the face. And I promise that we will rise above it. But more importantly, God promises if we'll keep the faith. I had a man one time tell me that He's sitting in this auditorium. He told me one time, he said, I'd give anything if I could take Jay's cancer and I could die for him. Sitting right here in this auditorium today, and he's not kin to me. And I remember breaking down, and I said, oh, no. No, that's my job. If that was an option, I got that. Because I done prayed and asked for that. We hurt sometimes, and we hurt bad. You're not hurting alone. People's hurting right with you. People's there and they would take it away if they could. But what we can do, by the grace of God, we can pray for each other and we can hold each other up. The greatest gift you could ever be given, no matter what your trouble is in life, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to any one of us. The best thing that's ever happened to any one of us. Without him, I'm lost. Without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I'm going to hell. Without Jesus, I am going to hell. And I will spend all eternity, and that is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And no matter what's happened on this earth, no matter how bad it is, it's not near as bad as what's coming. And the best gift is Jesus. You remember my list I started with, the very last one. There are some people that will not come to Jesus. They won't. In their mind, they keep kicking that can. They keep punting the football, however you want to word it. They keep moving on down the road, and they keep saying, one day my life will... I've had people tell me this. One day my life will improve. I'm going to work out things in my life. And then I'm going to get right with my Father in heaven. Things are not going to get worked out without Jesus. Bad things happen to good people, but bad things happen to bad people too. And you want to know the difference between the bad and the good people? They don't have God. And you do. When you're a child of God. If you're not a Christian, I am pleading one more time. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to turn away from sin, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to God, our prayer is that you will respond while we sing.